Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, salutations, and hello, hello, hello. This is Jesus for the rest of us, and I'm so glad you're listening. This is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Let's remember that. There's always something beautiful to see. Look for it. You'll find it. And if you don't think so, just look. There's something beautiful right in front of you. Go look. Just needed to say something positive. I am Ellen Hartwell, your host, and I'm not going to waste any time because we have a lot to talk about today, as usual. John Warren is my dear friend. He's a mentor. He is a highly intelligent, well-educated, very funny at times man, and he is my co-host. How are you today, John Warren?
I am terrific, Ellen. I loved our conversation in the greeter right now. We always warm up.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Topic. And it's not the top of the show today, so I won't bring it in. But talk about a good warm-up for discussing this stuff. Yes. I'm ready to cut. I mean, I just feel like a little chatterbox right now. So, yeah, it's a good day. Happy Friday. I hope everybody celebrates. Has a great Easter if you celebrate it. If you don't, I hope you had a good weekend and last week and a good week this week, and I know I did. So what are we talking about today, Miss Ellen?
Well, Mr. John, and yes, happy Easter to those who celebrate. I hope it was great. Mine was. And I hope you had a good weekend, a good week, and all that good stuff. So what we're talking about today, John, is what was it that Jesus sacrificed? What was it? I mean, yes, we know the more traditional way of thinking, he died for our sins, and we know that Jesus, or we have every reason to believe Jesus knew his purpose, and he fulfilled his purpose. But what was that? Because if we step outside the box just a little bit, in my opinion, maybe a lot in some others, we touched on this last week, John, that if he died for my sins, that would make me feel pretty bad. And remember, direct translation is mistake, not sin. But if he died for all of the crap that I've done and said and done again and said again, I mean, really, Hartwell, you just can't seem to get it together, can you? But I'm working on that. And I wouldn't want anybody to die for my mistakes, my sins, my errors, whatever. That would make me feel like I can't even look at him. I would feel so guilty and ashamed and horrible. Well, yes, Ellen, but he died for your sins and you're forgiven. Yes, I am forgiven, but I was forgiven before the beginning of time because the God of my own, and not that it's a license to do bad things, as Paul tells us, of course it isn't, but I am forgiven. And Jesus knew he was going to be crucified, and he knew that, and he had some issues with it, but he did it, which means to me that either God is a very nasty, mean son of a gun who would kill his own son for me or for you or for anyone else, and that would mean I wouldn't want anything to do with that God. I mean, I'm just being very blunt here. I would not want anything to do with a God who says, unless I kill my son, you're going to burn in hell or you won't have an afterlife or whatever people believe. I couldn't relate to a God like that. I'd be like, oh, my God, and all of you out there who have children or who have taught children or been close to children, can you imagine? Okay, Ellen, if you kill your son, then everybody goes to heaven. Of course, if they believe in him. I'm like, no, that's not okay in my world. So when I imagine a God that would say, okay, you guys flubbed up so bad that I'm going to sacrifice my, in quotes, only begotten son, and then everything's okay. Now, I'm probably going to get blasphemy letters, but I'm talking about my personal opinion. It is my opinion that what Jesus sacrificed and what he taught us by going to the cross, because he was killed because he was a rebel, was his will. He said, okay, you know what, I'm going to do this, and you guys are going to remember me, and you're going to remember what I taught, and I do it because I want you to remember how loved you are and to take a good, hard look at your own will. Because if you're anything like me, I have a very strong will. And that's a good thing in many ways. And in other ways, no, it's not. But I sacrifice my will when I choose to do the next right thing. Not always, but many times. It's like, yeah, I'd really rather this, but I'll sacrifice my will to do this next right thing because I might want to go and rob the local bank. That'd be nice, right? I'll do it and I'll share with all of you. No, I might will to do that. I might want to do that. But of course, I would not do that. So I sacrifice my will. And that's a big made-up thing. But every day, if you think about it, you're sacrificing your will for something, your kids, your job, your partner, your friend, whatever. You're taking a hunk of your will and saying, no, that is more important than my will in this moment. I might want to take my screaming infant and throw him through the picture window. But, of course, I wouldn't do that. I sacrifice my will for the benefit of my child, and most of us do that in some way every day. So think about this. He went to the cross because he was a rebel, because the Romans said, this guy's got to go, and he's a threat to us. And, of course, there were lots of people that taught that. And what a horrible and terrible thing. And he sacrificed his will so that he could send a very clear message. And, you know, religions have been built around it. But as a metaphysician, I look at that. And by the way, I totally believe in Jesus. I am a Christian, God outside the box, but I am a Christian. I talk to Jesus all day, every day. He's very real to me. And I believe that he was crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. Oh, by the way, for those of you who are shaking in your boots, I do believe that. I believe it like I believe that I'm talking to you right now. I believe that. But I do not believe that he died for my sins. I feel he died because he was a rebel and he had such an important message and he taught us so many things if we'd listen. And so I'm reminded of that on Easter. The sacrifice of my will is a beautiful thing and oftentimes is a dang good thing, oh, by the way, because I can be a willful person. And I so respect and honor and love Jesus for what he taught and for what he did. I feel that he had a lot to teach us, and that's one of the things that he sacrificed on that cross. He also sacrificed a future. Now, I'm not saying we should do that. Anybody who feels like jumping off a bridge today, please do not do that. Give us a call or, you know, send us an email. We'll talk to you. We'll talk you off the ledge. So don't do that. But he sacrificed his life and his will and his future, because he could have had a future. He could have had a great future as a very adored rabbi and with his disciples and friends. Yes, he could have gone on for many years, most likely. He was 33 when he died. So he sacrificed a lot as a way, in my opinion, as a way to teach us something as a metaphysician. What is it that Jesus is teaching me? He's teaching me that it's important, a lot of the time anyway, to sacrifice my will. What else is he teaching me by going to that cross? That he so believed in what he was teaching and the changes that needed to be made at that time and today too, that he was willing to keep pushing forward knowing the outcome. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew it, and he kept going. He was so passionate about what he believed that he went all the way to the cross for it. Now, I'm not suggesting we do that, but how passionate are we? As metaphysicians, how passionate are we about the things that we love and that we're co-creating? How passionate are we? Or are we Casper Milquetoast? Yeah, I believe. I'm a person who, no, speak your word with authority. Be willing to go to the cross in that sense, not literally, but figuratively, and say, no, this is what I believe in. This is what I stand for. This is who I am. Don't be afraid to be authentic. Jesus was the most authentic person I've ever read about. Jesus is the most authentic person ever, in my opinion. Now, I'm sure there are others, but I mean that I have a personal relationship with. He was authentic every single time. That takes courage. That takes a lot of courage. If I had as much courage as that, good Lord knows where I'd be today. I don't, but I do press toward that mark. So Easter, yes, is about the sacrifice that Jesus made. And he sacrificed not only his will, but his future and all that. But the sacrifice he made is a lesson to us to so firmly believe in what we believe in, to move forward with courage and love, and to pay attention to what this man said or what we're told he said. He said so many things that are guideposts as we go along, that are loving little epistles to us, saying, excuse me, that's probably not the best idea, is it? No, it probably isn't. And being willing to sacrifice our own pride, our own ego, our own will, and listen to the God of our understanding, because there are so many gems, not only in Jesus' teaching, but many others, but we're talking about Jesus. As a metaphysician, what can we learn from what Jesus did on Good Friday? And then what can we learn about what happened on Easter when he rose from the dead and was seen by many? What can we learn from that? Can I resurrect pieces of me that I've let die? Can I resurrect pieces of me that I keep to myself and I won't share with you because I'm kind of embarrassed that I believe that way or I think that way? Can I do that? You know, in time and with practice, 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 yes, I can. Okay, John, that's what I have to say about that.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's a lot. I think it's a great, it's a fascinating, what did he sacrifice actually? If he knows he's the Son of God, if he knows this is going to happen, if he sort of sets it up that it's going to happen, we talked about this last week. He knows he's going to be betrayed. He knows he's going to be killed. All of that. And then presumably he knows he's going to come back.
Right.
By the way, you can get that exact story if you aren't prone to Christianity, because a lot of people who call themselves Christian, not Ellen, thank goodness, are kind of off-putting. I'll be blunt. They are off-putting. And I don't like them. They're very loud and they have loud megaphones. But if you don't want to get that story, Jesus said before it goes, you know, I will be with you. There's a communion service, essentially. He creates the Christian, ritual or the rite of communion the day before he dies, and which people are doing right now all around the world. And which is kind of amazing. But if you don't want to get it from Christianity, just pop in your VCR. Does anybody have a VCR? Just find the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial. It is exactly the same story, and it is a fine iteration of the story. Right before, as he goes into heaven at the end of Pentecost, in the E.T. version, he says, "I will be right here." And he points to his heart and to Drew Barrymore's heart, I think, when she's a kid. But, you know, he dies, he's resurrected, you know, I mean, the whole thing happens. And I say that as a way of saying, look, I believe a lot of that weekend is true, that we are told in those Gospels. I do. But, and I want to emphasize this clearly, is that you don't have to be saved, whatever that is. If you read it as metaphor, and it is actually as powerful and probably maybe more powerful. And that's what I always want to repeat on this show, Alan, Jesus for the rest of us is like, fine, you can get this story other places, I promise you. Jesus is not going to condemn you to hell because, hi Lester, he agrees with me, your dog, Ellen. I just want to say that.
I know. That's why he's doing that, because he thinks you're right, and so do I. Please continue.
Good guy, that, sir. But the important, you can read it as metaphor. And so what did Jesus sacrifice metaphorically? Exactly what you and I always sacrifice whenever we get on a spiritual path of any sort, even at the very beginning. Always. In fact, you are sacrificing 24/7 all the time, except maybe when you're asleep, which I thank crew, but But I will say to you, like, when the moment you say yes to anything or no to something, if you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And if you say no to something, you know what I mean. If I agree to do this show on Fridays at noon Pacific, I am saying no to something else. I don't know what it is because I nothing I'd rather do. But let's say that there was. I'd probably say, Ellen, I'm not coming. I'm not going to be on this week. But you say yes to this, you're saying no to something else. Now, if you say yes to spiritual evolution, which I think is what's happening here, Jesus says, as Ellen just talked about it, the devil metaphorically tempts Jesus with it. You can have this, 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 and this. And he probably could have. He was a master manifester. He performed miracles. Comes to you and says, you know what? You could have, you know, I don't know, 77 virgins and a beautiful house. And, like, you could have all of this because you're good at this game called life, Mr. Jesus. And if you just come do this, if you don't do what you're called to do, you can have all these other things. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then, you know, I'm going to play this all the way through. And all the way through means, apparently, in his case, I'm going to be born. There's going to be a story about it. I'm going to vanish from history for 30 years, supposedly. And then I'm going to preach for 3 years in this particular part of the world. And then I'm going to die, and then I'm going to predict my death, and I'm going to leave them with something to remember me, a ritual, which he does. Then I'm going to die, and then I'm going to come back from death, because that is the complete story. That's not, you know, I'm going to die and walk away is not a complete story. And I'm going to die and vanish, and that's that. Then you're a guy who is, this is important, this is important, this story is played out all the time. I'm a guy who taught well. I'm a wandering rabbi, which was, there were many of them at the time, and I taught my people my religion, and that's a very important thing. I added some new ideas about forgiveness, and you know, and expanded, and you know what you could actually do with this if you focus on it. Greater, I'll perform a miracle, and then I want to tell you guys something. You can too. You will make better miracles, I promise. That's what he does. And then he dies, and that's that. But no, you got to have the end of the story because you are born. And I'm speaking to myself and Ellen and anybody listening at this moment. Because when you let go of whatever it is that feels great, because at every single spiritual practice, that's really a spiritual practice, will ask you to sacrifice something. What Jesus does is metaphorically, I believe literally as well, but for the purposes of my little rant here, I will say metaphorically, what Jesus does is say, you got to let go of all of that if you really want to get good at this. If you really want to go home to where you came from, you got to let go of all of it. Now, in his case, it is best expressed as his life, his physical life. In our cases, and I think Ellen touched on this just now, it doesn't need to be your life because you know what? I'm carrying around a lot more baggage than Jesus was, as far as we know. I got resentment. I got, you know, I came from an alcoholic family. I have indulgences that I adore. You know, if you want to get skinny, you got to give up pizza every night. Maybe not 365 nights a year, but you do. Like, there is something that it will, that your spiritual evolution will ask you to sacrifice, what we're calling sacrifice. And I metaphorically and in the term in the metaphysical world, that is just true across the board. I cannot tell you how many times I said on the last show and how many times I have worked with people. Maybe I could. I could ballpark at 50, probably, maybe 60 people that I have worked with over the years when I was a practitioner practicing this and on, you know, doing intuitive work where I really want this, I really want this, I really want this, I really want this, and it's not happening. I'm doing all the work. Why isn't this happening? And you get in there and you go, well, because there's a few outcomes here. Oh, well, you're still really angry. You don't want your husband back. What you want is him to come back. You want your father or your mother to come back and say they're sorry to you. Or you want your husband back that because you want someone or your wife, believe me, it's all over. You want this person to behave in a certain way because you feel insecure or you have a resentment. That's a big one. And the moment they actually get clear on that, Ellen, or, you know, and you can confirm or deny this, or they, two things happen. One is they go, oh, wait a minute. They actually see the person, in quotes, that they want back. And they go, oh, my goodness, I don't want that. That guy's a schlub who was never home on time. He was, he was sort of dismissive. He's not really, doesn't make me feel good. And the moment you let go of that, it goes away. Or B, the next thing happens, the other weird miracle happens, which is like, oh, yeah, I can have an honest relationship with the partner who's really present, who has flaws and who reminds me of my resentments, but it's not him. They stop confusing what they're holding on to with the person they want. Same is true of money and events and all sorts of things. But you know what? Anybody who's nursed a resentment over a long period of time knows it becomes a part of who we are. Our baggage becomes part of what we're comfortable with. And yes, do you have to let that go? If not all of it, by the way, you don't have to let go of everything that you love in your life, but invariably, if you want to expand spiritually, I have never, ever seen a person that did not have to let go of, to sacrifice, in quotes, something. And I mean that. And I think that in the broadest sense, that is what it, and there you go. I mean, Ellen talked about will, but I think it's really true. You have to sacrifice your ego-driven will for the will of the higher you, the higher version of you, which wants you very much to become who you were meant to be all along. Why? Because I don't know why. I don't know why the higher self wants that. My hunch is it's because that higher self has tasked the higher self with making sure that me, the lower self, gets it together in this lifetime so they can move on themselves. My manager, as it were, wants a promotion too. That's the best guess I have about that. But circling back to Jesus, you know, like, and by the way, if Jesus had gone in the desert, which is the Lenten stuff that comes before Good Friday, and is tempted by the devil, and tempted with, you know, power and money and, you know, whatever, 71 virgins, whatever, it is that men are tempted by in this life, and a long life as a householder and grandkids, not even just the sort of, what am I trying to say, the lewd or sort of lower base temptations like sex and gluttony and power, but also the sort of loving kind temptations. If Jesus had decided to get married, which I would have been Magdalene, so Mary Magdalene. But I mean, let's say he took a wife and he had kids and they were loving and they lived 90 years or 600 years. They lived as long as Noah, and there were kids and grandkids and great grandkids, and he had a beautiful, amazing home that any one of us would be, oh my gosh, that's it. That's you know, Walton Mountain. That is the loving house I want to be in. The good stuff, if Jesus had decided on that, and the devil, I believe, tempted him with it and not decided to do his job this time around, do I think Jesus would have been forgiven? And do I think Jesus would have been able to come back and do the Jesus thing again? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the most weird and dangerous thing about all of this, Ellen, is when you come to the metaphor that Jesus didn't have to. You do not have to grow spiritually. If you have started down the path and you decide to stop, is it exceedingly annoying, difficult, and probably includes a lot of liquor if you decide to throw a U-turn? Yes, absolutely. But they don't call them spirits for nothing. That you know, there are, yes, it is, but if you don't complete the task, if you don't do everything that you think you're drawn to do in this life, are you forgiven and do you get to do it again? Absolutely. Absolutely. But yes, you are going to have to give up something in your life, not your life itself, but something in your life in order to continue to demonstrate that life itself is indestructible. That is the lesson of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. You have to give up something in your life, if not your life itself, to demonstrate that life, the thing we call life, is indestructible. It is there whether you're in your body or not. And that's, to me, what Jesus sacrificed. He sacrificed his future. And, you know, I mean, yes, I mean, I can tell Ellen, and we can talk about this because this is a lovely hour-long show. I can, you know, I have a hard time as a person who was in Los Angeles during the height of the AIDS crisis and who have seen many people suffer recently, in fact, a dear friend a few years ago, over periods of time that are much longer than a Friday morning. I have a difficult with the sentimentality around, oh, my God, he was nailed to the cross and it was horrible. Yes, it is horrible. And it was over in 3 hours. I have seen people die agonizing deaths over months in my life. And it's like, that doesn't work for me. It doesn't click. What clicks is, and what matters is, yes, he was murdered by Romans quickly, meaning over the, well, not quickly. He was murdered in a torturous way, which started, you know, by being whipped and dragging across, you know, having to drag his own instrument of execution painfully through a, you know, through people that probably were mocking him and scorning him. All of this is horrible, and he was brutally nailed. I can't even imagine it. It's horrifying. And then essentially you bleed out, but before you bleed out, you suffocate. That is a ghastly, it's not beheading, which is, it's done. You got 2 or 3 seconds of, oh my goodness. And then it's over, or firing squad. It is a brutal way to execute anybody. And by the way, 6 gay men are being executed in Yemen this way. They were sentenced last week by crucifixion. It is horrifying, but, and I just want to say this, Jesus died a horrible death, but if that's the thing you hang it on and you make it sentimental, then I just, you know what, you can do that. I'm not going to judge it. Well, I am going to judge it. I just did. What I'm going to say is I think that you're missing the greater picture. The most important part of the story is literally, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to go through this. It's going to be awful for a brief period, and I'm going to then prove to you that life goes on, ladies and gentlemen, and I am willing to return to my Father's house to sit on the right hand of God. I believe it's the right hand. Correct me, Ellen, if I'm wrong. But literally,
you're right.
You know, the visual of that is I have so evolved and I'm so excited about my own evolution that I've now – I don't want to do another 30 years, another 600 years on the planet. It seems nice, and I'm sure I would have a great marriage and it would be great, but I want to go home now. But I will always be with you no matter what. Call my name. And I believe even alone, but get another person and call my name and I will be there for you all. But I want to go home now. I've done my job. And that is actually what we are being tasked with. Make a decision. God is not judging it. Do you want to evolve spiritually or not? If you do, what is stopping you from it? Is it compulsive sex? Is it, I want to have my resentments against the Democrats or the Republicans, or is it resentments? What is stopping the thing from happening? Because this is not a judgment. We all have them. We all have them. I've been struggling with my weight since Jesus was in Pampers, like before the Last Supper. And you know, it's my thing because, you know what, I'm mad that I don't want to give this up, and I struggle with it. But it stops my growth, too. It does. My lack of surrender here slows my growth. It doesn't stop it, but it slows it, and I know it. And you know what? I also know God forgives me. But anyway, I want to circle back and shut up for a minute and just say really clearly, because I went off on a tangent. I didn't mean to. Really clearly is it's okay. If you decide not to let go of something, that's okay, too. I mean, I think it's really important to note that Jesus is awake and aware of the entire thing from stem to stern, from the moment he opens his mouth initially at the age of 30, and probably the whole time, probably the entire 33 years. But he knows what's happening, and he knows what's going to do. And he times it perfectly. Right before he goes, he gives the ritual out. Says, look, but do this. You will commune with me. Do this. It's bloody. And in my next little chunk, I'll say why I think it needs to be bloody because of who they were. But it's, you know, drink this. You're drinking my blood. That is creepy. Let's just be objective about that. That is creepy. But anyway, it's okay to walk away. And it's okay to feel pain about walking away from certain things. But you know what? You're going home, and you're taking steps in the right direction. If you decide to, that's all that matters. If you decide to, that's the end of it, Ellen. I went on and on. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Well, I think it was just wonderful, John, and I agree with you. I happen to agree with you. And you are listening to Jesus for the Rest of Us here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to get in touch with me or John, just go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. We'd love to hear from you. Suggestions for the show, comments, criticisms, we're open to the whole nine yards, so let her rip. I think, too, John, I think you're so right about this. And, you know, as we touched on last week, you know, once you start a spiritual path, it doesn't have to be Christianity, any spiritual path, you're going to find that you can't stop. You can kind of, and you can back off from it, and you can delay it. But you are on a spiritually evolving path, and we can play dead, but we're not dead, and you can't turn back from it for long. Some people do for quite a long time, but they come back. Why is that? Because you're being called to be your authentic self, and your authentic self, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done or what you're doing or what level of education or whatever, your authentic self is calling to you. And you're being asked to have the courage to get to that authentic self, which is always, I said the word always consciously, in communication with the God of your understanding. So if you peel away the layers, the resentments, the hurts, the worries, the fears, and get to your authentic self, what a relief it is. And you sacrifice all the trappings of, that's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not of this and I'm not of that. That's not who I am. Yes, you are. You are beautiful. You were perfectly formed, and you are gorgeous, and your soul, your authentic self, is crying out to you, listen to me, pay attention to me, embrace me. And is it an easy ride? Oh, no, 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 no. It's arduous, and it's difficult, and sometimes it's outright scary, and sometimes it'll tick you off, and sometimes, like, I don't even want to do this, and I don't want to know it, and I don't want to know what I know, but I do, so, okay, what now? We come back to it. We come back to it, and we come back to it because that's who you are. You are a spiritual being. You are visiting here. You took on flesh, and you're visiting here. But your authentic self is a spiritual being. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that the body is temporary. He knew that. And he knew that what mattered was, yes, his spirit and his relationship to the God of his understanding. So often he thanked God. He thanked the Father because he knew that that relationship is what would get him through the little things, the medium things, and the big things. And that relationship kept him moving forward, forward, forward until he finally could be home again. And we have that too. We have that spirit, the deep, calling onto the deep, that tremendous life force, that animating creative force within you and me and John and everybody else keeps saying, hello, hello, I'm here, pay attention to me. And as we pay more attention to our spiritual self, or our authentic self, as I call it, we start paying more attention to the God of our understanding. Now, if we don't do that, are we lost? No, we've never been lost, and we won't be lost, and you're still going to go home to God, of course. But it makes this life so much easier in so many ways. It makes it richer, deeper, more exciting. It gives us that courage after we fall flat on our face to stand up again, after we fail to have at it again, after we say, you know what, I've been trying to manifest this, John, since God was in Pampers, and it's still not here. Uh-huh, I get it, and it's frustrating, but you know it's happening. You may not be able to see it right now, but it's happening. No matter how long you've been manifesting thing or that thing, this event, that event, whatever, it is happening. It is happening right now, and your spirit, your authentic self knows it, and that encourages you to keep affirming. That encourages you to keep growing and involving and evolving in your spirit. That force encourages you to go right up to that cross and say, have at it, I will sacrifice this, that, and the other so that I can have this sense of joy, this sense of peace, this sense of, yeah, when the poopy hits the fan, you know what? I am never alone. I'm never alone. I am always accompanied by the highly evolved, loving angels and by Jesus. I am always, that's true for me. I am always accompanied in at my lowest moments. I mean, just splinters in my nose from being at the bottom of the barrel for so long. At my lowest moments, I hang on to that spirit within me and say, okay, you know what? This appears to me in my flesh to be really bad, and it hurts, and I'm miserable, and I'm depressed, and I'm forlorn, and I feel, not I am, I feel lost. And you know what, God? I don't even know if you're listening to me. And if you take a minute, you'll hear, yes, I am, or you'll get a nudge. You'll get some sense that, yes, you're being listened to, because you are, with the most amazing love you could imagine, the best love you've ever experienced here is nothing compared to the love God has for you, God, spirit, universe, he, she, it, whatever label you put on that, that divine intelligence, divine love, loves you more than you can even imagine. And Jesus knew this. He knew it. He said it. He showed it. He lived it up to the cross and on the other side, coming back and saying, hi there, I told you. I told you there is life after death, and I'm here to prove that to you. Don't worry, Jesus said, what they can do to the body, because your life, your soul, your spirit is eternal. And when we turn our fears into praise and our worries into prayers, we are talking with our authentic self, who is always in connection with the God of our understanding. And as we go through this process we call life, this journey we call life, it's a challenge, ladies and gentlemen, to be on a spiritual path. It's a big challenge and sometimes exceedingly difficult. But is it worth it? I am here to tell you by personal experience that it is worth it. Not easy, no. There are times when it's easy, but yeah, you're going to have your potholes in the road. But where you're going at the end of your life is, we can't describe it. It's so beautiful and amazing and wonderful and fulfilling. And then we keep learning, I contend. We keep learning. So what we bring to our next adventure is important. I don't want to show up sitting with Jesus in heaven in Epcot and say, yeah, I knew, but I didn't do anything about it. And he'd say, I love you, period. I love you. You're forgiven. Come on in. But you still got a lot to learn, Hartwell, and you didn't do so well this time. But you know what? I love you, and you're going to get to try again. And I'm going to help you while you're here to bring more back when you go back. And I want to come to the God of my understanding and say, you know what? I certainly didn't always do my best, and oh, dear Lord in heaven, did I fail and make hideous and horrible mistakes and do terrible things and say terrible things. And then I said, no more of that. And I started to make changes, and I resisted temptation. And I said, nope, not doing it. I might want to, but nope. I'm not going to. I'm going to sacrifice my will so that I can move forward spiritually, so that when I meet my maker, I can say, you know what, yeah, I flubbed up a good portion of my life, but See, look, I got better. Yes, you did. You started to evolve, and that is fantastic. And if I don't do that, I'm still going to heaven, but it makes this life richer and deeper, and I can face my Creator with more confidence, if you will, because I know I've been working at this, and I don't have to be afraid of God no matter what I've done. Yes, I'm forgiven, but God loves me. And He loves you. God, Spirit, Universe, whatever your belief system is, loves you so much that it doesn't matter what you do. But Jesus taught us that as we do our best to do the next right thing, we have a better, happier life. And as we work through some of this stuff, you carry it around, I carry it around, we all carry around baggage. As we start to unload that baggage and sacrifice our attachment to the baggage, excuse me, as we sacrifice the attachment to that baggage, we feel lighter, we feel better, it's easier to do the next right thing, it's easier to keep moving, and your manifestations will come more quickly. Why? Because your vibration will be higher. The higher the vibration, the quicker the manifestation. So as we practice this, not with fear, but with love and excitement and joy, guess what you're bringing into your life? Love, excitement, and joy, good things, and you'll get better and better at it. Jesus had rituals with his disciples and people he knew to bookmark things. Bookmark this. This is important. Excuse me. Bookmark this. Hey, Lazarus, you're dead? No, you're not. Come forth. And he does. Now, I'm not saying we should go around trying to raise the dead, but I'm saying that Jesus got excited about his life, and when he heard that Lazarus had died, he cried. He was very upset. Lazarus was a really good friend of his, and he was very sad to hear that he died, but then he said, nope, you know what? I'm going to show these people that death has no victory. And he called Lazarus forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb, and he was alive again. What does that tell us? No matter what we bury, if we want it back, we can have it back. We can have that childlike curiosity. We can have that joy when we wake up and we look out the window and it's a beautiful day, or it's raining or it's snowing or whatever it's doing. We can have excitement about this new day. We can have childlike joy about things again. Don't bury that child. Don't be childish, but be childlike in your faith and in your belief and in your joy of every day. Have some fun. Go finger paint if you feel like it, but have fun, have some joy in your life every day, because as you do that, you're sacrificing your pride, your embarrassment. What you do today, oh, I worked and then I colored in my coloring book. Excuse me, you what? Yeah, I like to color, so I got a coloring book and I was coloring. Okay, we need to let go, and I don't mean that specifically if that's not your thing, but do something fun today. Dance around the living room or sing a song you loved as a kid or as you love now. Watch an uplifting movie. Do things that bring joy into your life. And if you're embarrassed about it, be embarrassed. In time, you won't be. In time, you go, no, I like to make snow angels, or I like to build sandcastles, or I like to walk around and sing songs. And if you don't like it, well, that's okay, because I'm having fun. Life should be fun. It's not always easy. It's not always fun, but we should put fun and joy and happiness and childlike something in our life every single day. Why? Because we're reminding ourselves where we're going. We're reminding ourselves that if you use Jesus as the example, he went toward that cross, and he taught so much, and then he hung on the cross, and then he died, and then he came back to life. We are metaphysicians, ladies and gentlemen. We can bring back to life things that we want back in our life. We can bring back to life joy if we've lost it, love if we've lost it, but we can't do that if we're afraid of what other people are going to think to the point that we don't do it. Jesus had to not care what other people thought. Jesus taught at a time where what he was saying was radical, but he kept doing it, and he taught his disciples to do it because he knew how important it was that we have joy in our life, that we have a faith in a higher power, and that we have the power within us in connection with the God of our understanding to co-create a life that we desire and want. I'm doing it. Are you? Okay, John, take it away.
Well, you need to say your little spiel at 45 of the hour now. This is what I feel, Ellen.
You're listening to Metaphysical Hors d'oeuvres. I'm sorry. Jesus for the rest of us, and we're so glad you do. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, go to our website, ellenhartwell.com. You can reach John there. You can reach me there. We'd love to hear from you. And you know what? I do want to say this, John. As you listen to us, please understand we are not gurus. We don't have this knocked. We struggle just like you do, and we have doubts and fears just like you do. And so learn with us, grow with us, and share with us. Email us. I do want to say that next week's show is How Did Jesus' Most Fundamental of Teachings Get So Messed Up? That's a long title. But how did his basic teachings get so messed up? What the heck happened there, John? We're going to talk about that next week. Okay, John, take it away.
Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you, my mouth is already watering for that one. You know I have something to say.
I know you do, baby. I know it.
That's my favorite topic ever. Like, how are you guys missing this? Come on. back on sacrifice. We're talking about what, you know, the nature of sacrifice. And, you know, when I just, you know, a couple of things that Ellen just provoked in this about me, and I'll reiterate what I believe. I think the demonstration, and what I mean by demonstration, it's like the Costco ladies who say, try this. You're going to like it, and then you're going to buy it. You go to Costco, it's not always ladies, but, like, you know, they have little food and, you know, buy this magical toothbrush, and this is how it works. And they demonstrate it for you. And, you know, you go, oh, I want to buy that, or, oh, I don't want to buy that. Or, ooh, I don't like that at all. That is the worst-looking cheese I've ever seen. And I don't mean to demean it, but I'm just saying demonstrating over the course of that 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, really probably Palm Sunday too. It's kind of a perfect story. But Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's demonstrating the perfect series of events. You know, this is why you can, you call me, meaning God, meaning the God of your understanding, the spirit, the universe. I don't even care if you call it nature. I don't even care if you're a scientist. Scientists say, science, help me. That's what gets you to the light. Then do it. Like, I need some science here. It doesn't matter. If it seems, and yeah, we are asking you to be a little woo-woo and mystical, but that's you wouldn't be listening to it if you didn't have to. There's two things I want to address in this little segment. One is that perfect demonstration over the course of the, and then I'm going to die, and it's going to be painful. I will suffer. Suffering is part of what's happening here. And then I'm going to be, there's an empty space in the middle of this. There's a hallway that I'm going to go through, and then I'm going to reappear. And this, that rhythm goes through a lot of different traditions, which I won't unpack, and I probably don't know about anyway. But Tibetans do sit Shiva. Like, there is a whole process before your next life. Tibetan Buddhists, you know, literally sit with the body to walk the soul for, I don't know how long. It's not short. It's like 40 days. It's a while. To make sure the soul gets to the right place. And they sit and essentially walk the soul over. And that's kind of what Jesus is contracting, but he's adding the story of, like, you individually, you will keep going. And, you know, it'll look and feel different. You may have a different name, but it won't be that different. You will be conscious. Stay conscious. There's that, too. I made the point, and I believe that this is true, that when you start on this path, if you're interested in it, and you do not have to be, I just really want to repeat that over and over again. There are people who live perfectly happy lives that are long and full of love and laughter, who never go near spirituality, and God is not punishing them, has not sent them to hell, and there is no God that does that, because that is asinine and contradictory on such a big level. This is obviously for next week. Read the Bible metaphorically. That's all. It will be amazing when you do that. Just assume, I believe a lot of it is true, but assume none of it's true, and it's all a metaphor. It will open up doors for your heart. That's as far as I'm going to get into the preaching on that. But I will say, you will let go of something. If you want anything in your life, and this is the basic spiritual metaphysics of I want. I want my husband to stop being blah. I want a new car. I'm not saying that that is spiritual in and of itself. It is. I mean, it is. But if that's where your journey has started, then know this. You will sacrifice something as you start this practice. And if the car doesn't show up or the new spouse doesn't show up or whatever it is, there are two things to do. And I'm big on, because I see a lot of people denying it, like figure out what you're angry about or what you're holding on to. And it's almost always a resentment. It's not 100%, but it's just often a resentment. Or you're unconscious about some desire that isn't actually connected to the human being that you want to have in your life. It's connected to your, because we're just human, it's connected to your mother or your father almost always. Almost always. And 98.99% of the time. And look at that and let it go, and then the person will show up. And resentment is a big boulder in the way of the other one is, and Ellen, this is what I wanted to mention on this. The other way to get around this, if you do not feel like dealing with your resentment, and I believe this and I'm instructing here, is start blessing. If you are angry at someone, and, you know, I mean, how many times have you spoken to a dear friend who says, oh, my gosh, I can't believe my wife is doing this. I love her so much, but, oh, my God, and then they just take her inventory or they take his inventory. Why doesn't this guy love me? And then they just rip him to shreds. It's like, because on some level, they know you are capable of ripping him to shreds. Like that's why they're not going to go near you. We don't want to go near people. And then turn it around and stop it dead in its tracks and say, I'm going to give up. I'm going to sacrifice. Because if you hear people's resentment for more than 10 seconds, you know they're enjoying it. I love my resentment. I love them. Like they're like steak I can chew on and swallow, and it doesn't hurt, doesn't make me fat, and the cow didn't actually die. I just get to chew on them. But you know they love their resentments more than they love the actual thing that they say they want. But if you really want it, you'll work through your resentment and or start blessing. And I believe that. And I believe it's in the story, too, that we're talking about. I bless this person even when they are not being who that I want them to be. I love them, and I'm going to let them be who they are right now. I bless the car I have now, which is a jalopy. I just love it, and I am so grateful that I have it. And you know what? Do that for a while and see how things evolve. I still think people should deal with their resentment. That's one thing, Ellen. But that's me, and people are deeply resistant to that. And Ellen touched on something else that I just want to talk about. And why I think, and again, metaphorically speaking, it's like, yeah, but God says to Jesus, like, you know, son, you don't have to give up your life. But it is a time in their evolution as human beings, especially since they've had the Abrahamic God for a while, especially in that little area there, which is going to become part of, you know, it's going to expand into Europe and to the Americas, especially since what's going to happen over the next 500 years is important. And it would be helpful if you actually died and then came back. You did the whole demonstration. I think Jesus could look at God, his father, you know, himself, really, and say, I don't want to do that. But he decided to, and he and let it go. And I just want to make this weird comparison, Ellen, is that if you want your life to get easier immediately, and practice this, this is the practice, say, you know what? Where in your life, where did I screw up? Do not defend against anything. And I'm not talking about somebody shooting and breaking into your house and shooting up. But someone says, where's this report that didn't get done? And go, no defense. Go, okay, where is that? That was my thing. And if you didn't make a mistake, then say, oh, I sent it, and be polite about the fact that they are making a mistake. Or say, you know what? I messed that up, and I really apologize for that. I must have been, you know, I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but I should have said it. And I'm talking about the simplest stuff. It's like, you're right. I should not have sort of cut you off, you know, grabbed the cart ahead of you. That was really rude of me. Immediately drop your defenses, because that's what I think is one of the things that's important here. And watch how much it throws people. If you apologize for something that you genuinely did wrong, and we all do weird little things wrong, but almost no one does it. It's disarming. And I want to tell you something. It makes the world much easier to live in, A, and B, it allows the things that you want to happen in your life to start flowing. And you will note that and I believe that. I'm going to give up on the broadest sense, I'm going to give up my body. I'm going to give up my ego for, it's not my fault. My God, why should I say I'm sorry here when you guys have treated me so bad for them? Whole job this whole last month, blah, blah, blah. And I work in the movie business as well, and Ellen knows this, and I have had many occasions where, but it finally dawned on me, like, you know what? I think I screwed that up. I'm sorry. And, you know, it's high pressure. There's a lot of money being spent every single day in movies being shot, you know, and there's no guarantee that money's going to be made on the other side. And there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people, but it was so disarming. As you can say, why am I spending? Like, you know what? I forgot. It's a terrible week. I'm sorry I messed that up. And then everybody goes, oh, okay. Like, it's so, like, letting go of the stuff that you're defending. And just going, you know what? I'm just surrendering. I don't have the rest of my life. I'll do it some other way. Or,
John, it's very hard to hear you.
No, really?
There, now it is. You're fine. Yeah, it just faded out for a minute. You're fine.
I wound up, but that's what I want to say. And also, we talk a lot about love here. This is what I want to say. You don't have to start from the place. A lot of people come to medicine, and I think all have to love. But you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe at the end of it.
John? Oh, dear. I think you dropped, John. Can't hear you. So John makes very good points there. Let's just remember, because we're going to end, but let's just remember that the sacrifice that Jesus made had many, many, many facets to it. And so as we look at those different facets and we ask ourselves, can I make some really good sacrifices so that I can have the life that I want, whether it's pride or fear or worry, whatever, what can I unpack and get rid of in front of the God of my understanding who loves me, period, and therefore then I will be able to move forward with less weight on me. Can I work on that? Of course I can, and so can you. And when we move forward in our lives and we've done that, it's like, wow, it's so cool because I feel lighter, I feel more able to have what I want in my life and co-create what I want in my life. And so let's look at Jesus' story as a metaphysical journey, whether it's Jesus or Buddha or Allah, does not matter. Like John said, science, nature, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Christianity. So as we unburden ourselves with our fears, worries, and resentments, and we say, you know what, I got this, and I've got help all the time. The God of my understanding is always with me, so I do not have to be afraid. I can move forward. I can try again, and I'll get better and better at it. Remember Jesus' journey from his birth in a manger, very low, you know, in a barn, to actually showing us that life goes on. that you cannot be destroyed. The body goes to dust, but the spirit moves on. That is an exciting message, and we can imitate that, not exactly, but we can press toward that mark and say, you know what, I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to copy that, and I'm going to be willing to sacrifice things so that I can have what I want, and you'll find it gets easier and easier because those sacrifices aren't a part of your authentic self. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, next week's show is How Did Jesus' Most Fundamental Teachings Get So Messed Up? That's going to be interesting. Thank you for listening, and get closer to the God of your understanding today, ladies and gentlemen.